Okay, so welcome everybody to the meeting this evening, and hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines in regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everybody should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or turned to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and shouldn't take part in any votes. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they're personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you do wish to speak on an item, to use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer and seconder, and this should be done using the instant messaging feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it can be missed. With two members asked to propose, the first member having indicated through the instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messenger feature so that we're aware that this is an active decision and doesn't indicate any connectivity problems. Thank you. I think we sort of all know the drill by now, but it's good to get a reminder. So if we received any apologies for this evening, I have an apology from Councillor Howell.
Yes, Chair, we have Councillor Gallagher and Councillor Taylor as well.
Okay, thank you. And I see Councillor Walker got on okay, and he was having connectivity problems there earlier. Any declarations of interest? No? Okay. So if we go to item 3, the action sheet arising from FPR committee held on the 16th of December 2021. So we'll go through it for accuracy on page 1, page 2, 3, 4 and 5. Any matters arising? And if we can have a proposer and seconder for the action sheet, please. Proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item 4 on the agenda, which is notice of motion regarding contactless payment solutions to tackle homelessness. So this motion is being moved in the name of Councillor Brown, and it was referred from the monthly council meeting in November 2021. So Councillor Brown, do you want to read out your motion or any comments attached to it?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. It's been read out of full council, so I'll just take it as read there, as well as the officer's report, but I do have some comments to make. So, as a councillor, we've had a number of debates, motions and proposals around homelessness in council, and I know, therefore, that all my council colleagues are dedicated to addressing the troubling and ever-rising homelessness figures in the district. We've held housing conferences, we've called for more social housing, and I'm sure most of us also deal with housing-related issues on an almost daily basis. I've also had the pleasure myself of working closely with a number of local charities during my time as a councillor, such as Newry Helping the Homeless and the Simon Community, and seeing the great work that they do across the district. I also myself worked in homelessness when I lived in Sheffield and set up a social enterprise working at a hostel in the city to deliver upskilling and training to residents there. Over the last few years, I've become increasingly concerned over the impact of the rise of the cashless economy and the impact that that will have on support for rough sleepers who often rely on cash donations on the street to support themselves. As someone who would try to give a few quid to someone on the street when I can, I now very rarely, if ever, carry cash. This is now commonplace in society and is backed up by research from The Guardian, which states that in 2006, coins and notes were used for 62% of all transactions. In 2017, it was down to 40%. And by 2026, cash is expected to account for only 21% of all purchases. This research was published in 2018, so that's pre-COVID. And with the pandemic, I would expect that we have actually gotten a lot closer to that 21% figure a lot faster than previously expected. But with the rise of the cashless society comes new technology such as contactless payment options. I feel we should embrace this new technology and use it to deliver social impact in our communities. I tabled this motion when I read an article about how local authorities, social enterprises, charities and private companies were utilising contactless technology to respond to the cashless society and help address homelessness. For example, the Rough Sleeping Partnership in Bristol installed two contactless payment stations that earn on average £370 each month for local charities. In the Netherlands, a charity is trialling contactless jackets, which, as well as providing warmth to rough sleepers, can also act as a payment terminal for donations. The City of Oxford has an online app where people can donate directly to homeless individuals that they meet on the street. And Nationwide Bank has partnered with a local homelessness charity in Bath to add a contactless donation option to all its ATMs in the city. And Tap London have raised over £300,000 with a billboard campaign that has integrated contactless terminals on it. These are mostly located in and around train stations. Suffice to say, there are a huge range of innovative ideas that I believe we can call upon for inspiration if we proceed with this motion. Trialling a contactless payment station will give residents and visitors to the area the opportunity to do their bit to help homeless individuals and support local charities. It would also be a good news story for the council and show our commitment to direct on-the-ground support to tackle homelessness. By giving the money to local charities, we can ensure any money donated is going directly to help those who need it most. And research from the University of Stirling into why people give money to rough sleepers suggests that because the contactless method is convenient, overcomes any awkwardness people might feel from personal interactions, and guarantees impact from the donation, it is actually likely to increase the number of donations to homelessness overall. The way I would see this rolling out in our area is as follows. Council would pull together a list of charities working in homelessness and with rough sleepers within the district and invite them to be part of the project. We would identify suitable central locations in urban areas, for example, Hill Street in Newry and Millennium Square in Downpatrick. We liaise with other areas, such as those that I've mentioned across the water that have trialled these schemes, to find out the costs of installation and maintenance and then estimate the potential return to local charities. And I note in the officer's report that they've already done some of the work around that and they're to be commended for that. We would also, I think, look at potential funding bids that council could make to the likes of DFC or charitable trusts and foundations to support the project. And then, as referenced in the officer's report, I think we would get a final paper then to councillors with all of these costs and considerations seeking approval of a trial project of this idea. So I do note that some of these points have been raised or covered in the officer's report, and therefore would like to propose that we proceed with the officer's recommendations in that report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. A couple of questions coming in regards to the motion. So we have Councillor O'Meara and then Councillor Burns. So, Barra, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, Patrick, thanks a million for bringing the motion. And I suppose start off by saying I don't think there's any councillor, there's anybody involved in society that I know of who has any issue with supporting homeless charities, and people very regularly donate to homeless charities. I know I do in a multiple of ways. It used to be when I lived in Belfast as a student, and I'd be down round Royal Avenue or that, you'd have been donating, you'd been buying the big issue, you'd have been donating with cash and that. I suppose less so in 2022 now. I suppose the vast majority of times that I'd be donating a charity would be over the phone. It'd be either a text message to a charity, you'd see something up on social media and you'd be linking into something and you'd be tapping, and it'd be an instant payment of whatever you wanted to contribute. Yeah, I suppose that'd be the first point. I suppose it was that, which would lead me on to, is there a need? Has anyone contacted you, Patrick? Because nobody has contacted me. Has anyone contacted you to say that they want to donate to a charity and they haven't been able to, and they really need a cashless system installed? And now I'm not getting at your idea that I see the warrant in it, and I see how it is operated in different systems and in different countries and all that. I'm only just wondering, because I think there's, as there's a growth in social media and all that, that there's infinite ways to donate to homeless charities and other charities, which leads me on to my next point. Are we at risk of favouring one sector or one charity here over another if we setting up cashless points for homeless charities? Are we going to have another charity who's equally as important in everyone's society's eyes and equally willing and equally deserving? Are they going to come and ask us to, can they install a cashless point? And what's our response going to be to that? Are we going to say no because we've already done it once? Are we setting a precedent? Which leads me on to then, is it a Section 75 issue? Are we favouring one charity over another? Are we going to be seen to be running down that line? You know, we're already in the council, we're already working with the lead organisation on homelessness as it is, the Housing Executive. And, you know, reading through your proposals and that, and it seems that we would then be superseding the work that the Housing Executive done. Now, you could argue that the Housing Executive aren't doing enough on homelessness, which is another issue. But I suppose at a cost of reading through it, approximately £1,500 a pay station. You know, if you wanted to install, you talked about one in Uri and one in Downpatrick. If you went to one in each DEA even, you're running into thousands. And then if a second charity comes in and says, well, I want this or we want that because we've seen the success of this in another way, you're running into tens of thousands then that you would be just as well given to the charities themselves to do with the money. So to that end, Patrick, without rubbishing your proposal, I would propose that we would amend the motion by writing to the Housing Executive and asking them to do exactly what you're saying, to asking them to work with the council to implement this scheme, to use our land, to put the pay points on our land, and to work with the council throughout it. So that's my bet. If you're happy to take the amendment, thanks.
Thanks for that, Barra. To be honest, I wouldn't accept it. I do think council can actually lead on this initiative. I did say in my comments that we would, through the process, write to the likes of DFC. That would obviously include liaison with the Housing Executive. I did say about trying to draw down, you know, grant funding from trusts and foundations, either ourselves or through charity partners. So, obviously we want to try and spread the cost as much as possible, but I think this is something that council can actually take a lead on themselves and put it forward as a real win for ourselves and the council. So I wouldn't accept that, I'm afraid.
Okay, so we're not accepting that amendment. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm not going to repeat some of the things that both Patrick and Barra had said and some of the similar points. Listen, there's two issues at play here. There's the bigger issue of being able to collect charitable donations, and then there's the issue of tackling homelessness. I know Barra with his amendment was talking about tackling homelessness there. You know what, I think, you know, tackling homelessness is by building more housing and getting more people off the street rather than the handing out of money. That's not saying something too swiftly. What I want to say is that in Manchester, this has worked very, very well under Andy Borland's scheme. And he has the pay stations and windows of different shops and high areas of footfall. On top of giving a percentage, I think it's like 15% of his salary, he gives to homeless charities and rough sleeping charities. And these pay stations are all set up for the one charity. And that's where we have the issue here in this paper. I'm all for the officers going to do more work on it, on the finances. I do see the big problem with equality issues, and I think we can address it in a different way. Every year we elect the chairperson, and the chairperson of the council is the face of the council, and one of the duties of the chairperson is to support and encourage charitable donations and other appeals. There is absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be going through a system and having a myriad of systems there. Barra talked about text messaging, GoFundMe pages when people set up charitable organisations, but it is true that the collection of money, not just for handing money out to rough sleepers, but the collection of money in buckets all around main streets is dwindling. Because people don't carry cash. So I can see an opportunity to link in the mayor's chosen charities each year with one or two pay stations across the district. Those can take in charities that deal with homelessness. So you've got a charity in Newry that does a lot of fantastic work, as Patrick had already mentioned. But it also would cover a large number of organisations and a very diverse number of organisations. If you look at the charities this year, and you're talking about mental health, or if you go back to last year, the charities with Laura or Charlie or Roisin, each year three to four charities would have an increase in the funding that they would get from people in the public. So not only do events have to be organised in order to raise money for the mayor's charities each year, people would have the opportunity in a high areas of football, whether it be the two leisure centres, as people's going through in a pilot programme, of tapping and adding a donation to that year's mayor's charities. That would, if it was possible, and I know officers are going to do a bit of work on it, but if it was possible that the organisation receiving the money could be changed annually, it would be less admin on it. But it would really fall into line of one of the duties of the mayor. And it would deal with the issues far and above homelessness. So I do agree that there's two issues at play here. One is the collection of the charitable donations, and one is homelessness, and I think we need to separate them, but there is something good in it. So I'd make the proposal that if we do have going away to do a bit of work on it, that we look at a pilot program for attaching it to mayor's charities and try to get some serious increase in funding for the charities adopted by the mayor each year. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete. I'll let you in, Councillor Sharvin, in a wee minute. I just want to pick up on a point you made about the ATMs, Patrick. To me, I think we're maybe missing a trick here. Like, why would we not utilise the fact that you can donate through ATMs rather than go and look for other, infrastructure that we don't necessarily need? You know, it's going to need to be maintained. My fear would be that it's going to be vandalised as well, not making out that we all live in the Bronx, but it's a very valid point that, you know, people do, you know, tend to go and attack things like this. So, you know, I know when I worked in the bank that we always run a thing called One Week in June, and we were quite very successful. I think it raised nearly over £100,000 every year, where you're able to nominate a charity, donate via the ATM. So, you know, maybe a proposal could be that as a council we write to the local banks or the servicing governance of the ATMs and say, is this something that we can look into on a rotational basis? And that will give every charity the option of being able to donate via the high street. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I'm happy to say when Councillor Burns amendment. Obviously, it needs to be accepted first. But, I think, you know, we've spoke about homelessness, and I think we all agree it is an issue that needs to be tackled and actually delivered against as well. But, you know, whenever I think locally within my area, suicide, you know, is a massive issue that right across our district we're facing. You know, are we good around, say, well, one machine is for homelessness, another machine's for suicide? Why is suicide not as big an issue as what homelessness is? You know, there's a fintech company in Manchester called Goodbox that has designed a platform where charities are able to purchase their hardware and software that allows them to go contactless. You know, they did research that found that WorldPay, 51% is now contactless. It's not even putting your PIN in. So there is mechanisms out there also for charities to spearhead in adapting to the way that we are changing and using money. But my biggest concern with the way the motion is written is how it is limited to one particular issue. Particularly for me, suicide locally within my area has been a massive issue. And you look at the Life Changes Lives, PIPs, MyMy, who make a massive difference. And if you went and spoke to them, you would find out how big an impact COVID one has had, because donations aren't coming through. But as Barra says, you know, that hasn't stopped me writing a cheque and posting it through your letterbox to them saying, look, I know times are tough. Similarly to food banks, how many families are going to food banks, you know, having to ask for support? Again, how are we going to support them? I think the investigations that officers do need to look at how the infrastructure that is being asked for can be implemented to accommodate more than one charity. Because I think the equality of this would be totally unfair, that if it's only one sector of charities benefiting, because, you know, other charities are out there struggling, not accessing the donations that they generally would have as well. And I totally agree in the ATMs, you know, there's actual chances that if you're withdrawing money, that the bank could possibly say, would you like to donate 10% or a percentage of the money you're withdrawing to charity. Similarly, if you go into a shop, some shops say, would you like to round up to the nearest pound so that money goes to a charity? So there's also another ways of working to support the local charities that are in our district. Thank you, Chair.
I suppose as well, like if we think about during the pandemic, the amount of GoFundMe pages that I've heard on the likes of Facebook and social media, and you know, I know even through my own mobile, not that I'm particularly technical, but I'm able to send money and it's added onto my mobile bill. So I just think there's a plethora of ways of doing this. But I'll just continue on with other councillors' comments. So we have Councillor Walker, Vernon, Kate, you're looking in again, and Councillor Savage. So Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And everything discussed here tonight in relation to this, all good ideas in that, you know, picking up what Barra had said in that, I tended to agree there in relation to when he spoke about the housing executive and that, and when it come to homeless and that, you know, we should be engaging with them as well and that. But I also think that the paper that Councillor Brown here brought forward through this motion is worth being explored. He has proposed that accepts the recommendations within that paper. I would actually second that, you know, and that let's explore it. You know, some of the things that's been discussed here in relation and some of the ideas that's been put forward from other councillors can be picked up before the paper's brought back and another paper brought back, because we all know homelessness is a major issue in the area. But also councillors are right in saying that Councillor Sharvin, you know, you have got suicide is a big issue in the area, and that, you know, and as Barra has said as well, you know, do we open it up to Section 75 because one particular section of the community or one section of certain organisations turn around and say, why are they just homing in on the homelessness? And that, so I actually think that's why I'm second Councillor Brown's proposal that we go away, they go away and work on this paper, because I actually think, you know, it needs more scrutiny. It needs more meat in the bones and that. And some of the things that other councillors have stated there could be added in, and then we could take the decision on it. You know, I just wouldn't knock it for the sake of knocking it.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Walker. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, very quickly, Chair. Thanks for letting me back in. Just to clarify when I was saying about the amendment, whether Councillor Byrne will take it. It get around the equality issue by having multiple charities. Multiple charities increases admin, and it's a pure headache with this system. So the way of having multiple charities is through a council charitable fund. That is one organisation receiving it, and whether you want to go down of looking at the mayor's organisations or selecting charities every year, it can be adopted and changed, because the council then divvies out that fund between those charities. I think it takes out all the admin, it gets around the equality issue, and let's see if a pilot scheme, if it works. And the way it works, and last thing I'll say is, the way it works in Manchester, it's in behind the glass in certain, you know, shops or buildings or high footfall areas. It wouldn't be in the street and it couldn't be vandalised. But I think if you can get round the Section 75 by having multiple charities and then having the council collecting it, go with the mayor's organisations each year, I think it really could have legs.
Thank you. So, you had a proposal there, so do you need somebody to second it?
I'm happy to second it, Chair.
Okay.
I was going to come in as part of the comments to do that.
No problem. I had the proposal to write to the banks. I don't think we've got a seconder for that.
Yeah, I'm happy to second that, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Okay, Councillor Savage, go ahead.
Yeah, just... you know, I commend Patrick for what he's proposing here in relation to an initiative that's very close to my heart in relation to homelessness and dealing with the homelessness crisis in our district. But, you know, the conferences we've had recently in relation to the initiatives, I think will bear fruit over the coming months, and those initiatives and projects will probably come up with some community-based projects as well that will need voluntary funding and charitable funding as well. So, you know, I could see the opportunities for these charities from a homeless perspective to change year on year as the challenges we face in the district are addressed in different ways, because I think we all know from the housing conference were fantastic ideas that came in relation to addressing homelessness, but not just homelessness itself, but the causes of homelessness and the implications of homelessness. So those charities are there's a plethora of them, and they're widespread. But, you know, I think we've been asked really tonight to look at what is potentially a corporate decision. And I think Pete is right in that the best role to put that under really is the chair's charitable donation role. And I think that if we were going to do a pilot scheme for a number of years, there is an opportunity to have a plethora of charities potentially benefiting from that. We have a custom and practice within council that the chair's discretion is applied in relation to which charities benefit in that specific year. So I believe that because of the normal sort of local charity-based makeup of those charities in relation to which ones are chosen and the diverse nature of them, that you do get around the Section 75 issue. And I believe that if we were to look at that as a model, I think that's deliverable and I think it's manageable. And I think it also, from a council perspective, it could be something that, you know, takes the charitable donations from the chair going forward to a new stratosphere, and really make a big impact across a number of areas where, you know, charities can benefit from. And I think the concept that Patrick is proposing is commendable, and I fully support the sentiment and what he's trying to do, but I believe we need to widen it out because of the Section 75 element of it, but also from the the ability to be able to implement this from a managerial and an administrative perspective. So I fully support the amendment. I would ask Patrick to consider that, because I think that it's a win-win in relation to the homeless charities he's talking about, but other charities will benefit as well. And it would be interesting to see if that was embodied within the work that the officials would go off and come back with. I think we'd have an opportunity to turn this into something maybe even beyond what Patrick was envisaging, and something very, very positive.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. So just sort of going back here. So we are accepting the recommendations on the report, but we have caveated it with extra in terms of looking at potentially the chairperson's charity being more of a role in this. And then we've also had a proposal and seconder to write to the local banks in terms of taking donations via ATMs as well. If I've missed anything, keep me right.
Sure, just, you know, with Barra's amendment, I did actually come back and sort of bat it down and didn't get the chance to respond to the other amendments, I think, for consistency. If I could maybe have a word on those.
No, I was definitely going to let you in again. I'm just trying to work out where we are at the minute. So, yeah, come on in then and make
I'll do my best to work backwards through it. First of all, touching Michael's comments there around how this ties in with the housing conferences and so on, and I know he's been a leading voice on that and very much commend him for that. I think it all has to tie in together, and this is definitely a project that we can bring through those channels and really sell in terms of an impact that the council is making on the ground, and that's why I'm very passionate that the council leads on this project. I think, you know, Councillor Walker was right, and thank you for seconding the proposal, Councillor Walker. You know, we are at the exploration stage of this now. It's a concept. We're interested in moving it further. And I don't think we should make any fast and hard decisions in terms of which organisations are or aren't getting support and which sectors are or aren't getting support. So whilst I can see where Councillor Byrne is coming from in terms of delegating it to the chair, and there may well be merit in that, I would be reluctant to accept the amendment on the basis of definitely ruling out giving 100% to homelessness charities. And the reason for that is I would worry that we would miss the point in this, in that, you know, the reason for me personally bringing it forward and backed up by the research I have done is around the rise of the cashless society and the simple act of when you're on the street and you see a rough sleeper and you don't have cash in your pocket to give it to them, but you do know that your local council has a contactless payment system in Hill Street or Millennium Square or wherever, you can go and give 5 or 10 quid to that. And that is all about raising awareness of the issue around rough sleeping and homelessness. And I would just worry that through deviating from that, that we would water down that issue. That is not to take away from other important issues around mental health, suicide and any other cause. But I do worry that we can get into an issue where we're starting to, you know, play different causes off against each other when there's so many that are important. Yes, I think these, you know, contactless payments could supercharge the amount of money that is raised for the chair's charities, but I would just worry that we lose that focal point of homelessness in the process. So I would be reluctant to accept that amendment on that basis, and I would want to see that, particularly that research around Section 75, because I know that's been raised as a concern. I think we could look at whether that was an issue, you know, across the water when they were looking at it in the Manchester project or elsewhere. And before we make a decision on which charities we give to, that we go and do that research first and we make that decision at a later date. In terms of Una's amendment, yeah, I mean, spot on. Look, I'm not married to having like a particular structure set up for this. We can run it through banks, we can run it through tills in a shopping centre. Ideally it would be 24/7 accessible at all times and so on, and an ATM probably fits the bill there. So absolutely, if we can work with the private sector partners, if we can work with banks, then totally welcome that and would accept that amendment, but I wouldn't accept the other one just until we've gone away and done that research. And at that point, if, you know, Peter, whoever wants to make that proposal, based on officers' advice, probably be happy to look at it then.
Okay, Councillor O'Mara wants to make a comment.
Yeah, no, I suppose, Patrick, anyone who is making amendments here tonight wasn't trying to play one charity off another, or that, you know, I suppose we're all looking at it pragmatically, trying to say, right, if we put all our eggs into a homeless basket today, as Gareth said, somebody could come back next month at SPNR and say, I want to do the exact same thing for suicide charities. And somebody could come in the next month and say, right, I want to do the exact same thing for brain injury charities. And somebody could come in the next month after that and say, I want to do it for cancer charities. And you could never say that one wasn't as important as the other. And all we were trying to do is support what you're doing, but sort of giving you an out by saying, let's widen it out a wee bit, that doesn't happen, that it doesn't keep coming back and back and back to us. And I thought there was an excellent out by saying, let's put it through the chair's charities, that it would then become a forever deal. You know, that it would be 1 month, it would be for home, or 1 year it would be for homelessness, or 1 month for homelessness, or whatever. Suicide, all the other charities, that, and it would keep coming back. It wouldn't be that once the homeless charities would get it and they'd never get it again. They might get it once every 6 or 8 months or whatever. That was just my view on it, Patrick. That's what I thought probably a way through it and a way out of it was. But more than happy for the officers to go in and take a look at it and take it back to us and see if they don't think that favouring one charity will just lead to another charity coming the next day and another charity coming the next day.
Yeah, just to come back now quickly, Barrett, like, I totally see where you're coming from, but, you know, I don't want an out. I genuinely think, you know, focusing on homelessness and raising awareness around that particular issue is a good idea. So that's why I want to, you know, focus in on that. But look, let's go away, do the research and make a decision at a later date rather than saying now that we're moving away from homelessness on its own.
Okay, if I could make a comment, maybe I've missed this in the paper, but is it possible for, it doesn't have to be the one charity per pay station, can it be rotated? So is that a way around what we're talking about? So, you know, say for example, it could be a charity of the month if we do decide to implement these, you know, so over a given 12 months, you're actually helping 12 different charities. Is that something maybe the officers could go and look at, you know, as part of this? Because I think that would maybe, it's just maybe the really obvious workaround. That's if we actually do need the infrastructure in the first place. If that could be maybe looked at. Garth, do you want to come back in again? I know Doreena's looking to come in.
Yeah, if I can just come in before Doreena, Chair. Look, I agree with the basis of what the motion is trying to get to, but Patrick has just sort of contradicted himself in saying he doesn't want to take away from homelessness, but he's taken away from all the other charities that we're talking about. You know, oh, just want the devices to be homelessness and solely that, you know. What the amendments were asking was that the officers would go away and consider, can other charities be included? And by rejecting the amendments that have been put forward, is excluding the officers in doing the investigation. Because actually what you have just done was they should just look at homelessness. And that's what the motion says, that's what the report says. It doesn't say about looking at other charities. So I think, Patrick, you need to consider that you do accept that other charities be considered in the officers' investigations of how the platform that could be implemented could support other charities rather than it just being homelessness. Because I certainly wouldn't want, coming out of this meeting today, that Newry, Morne and Down District Council don't support suicide charities through the infrastructure that we're planning to implement. And I see you laughing, but that's literally what we're saying. We're putting in devices across the district for people to donate, but it's only for homelessness. You know, so what I would say is that the officers would investigate the options that are available, because in the report it does stipulate that it's under certain supplier models that only one charity is supported. So if we can say that the officers are going off to investigate of what models are available that can support a range of charities, I'm certainly in favour of that, because I think we should not discriminate against any other charities that could be availing of this technology right across our district. And if we don't do that, you know, I'm between a rock and a hard place of, do I vote against this and then say, and I'm against supporting homelessness charities, which I'm not, but I'm also in support of making sure all charities have an equal access to people donating to them. You know, so where do I go from there?
Just in terms of my interpretation of Pete's amendment, I'm more than happy that we go and look at whether the platform can support other charities and any equality issues around that. But I was reluctant to accept a proposal that would assume that we are definitely going to split the money between different sectoral interests. And I, you know, do fear, I don't know if it's deliberate or misinterpretation, but Councillor Sharvin is using a bit of a straw man argument there. You know, it would be basically a bit like saying, oh, we're going to have a housing conference, and then someone complaining that it's not a, you know, a cancer charity conference. You know, that's it's completely a logical argument. You know, no one is saying we shouldn't support those charities. What I'm saying is there is a very important need to raise awareness and support for rough sleepers, and that we should focus in on that in that project. But that's not saying that we shouldn't go and also find ways to support other organisations and charities across the district. So just to be very clear on that.
But I think the point being made, Patrick, in fairness, is that if the motion passes as it stood on homelessness on its own, then next month and the following month and the month after that, every single charity could come along and say, well, we want the infrastructure as well. That's the reading that I'm getting from the chair, from the councillors that have spoken, that we're trying to be magnanimous across every charity and ensuring that everybody gets a fair and equal way to be able to donate. But I'm going to let Doreena come in, if that's okay.
Yeah, Chair, I suppose I was just trying to clarify and get agreement on our recommendation as it stood, and we've listened tonight, and thank you, councillors. You've given us a lot of information to go away and research, which has been very helpful. But I suppose to bring it back to the outset, Councillor Brown, if I read you correctly at the start, you were proposing accepting our recommendations. If everyone is content, you'll see in recommendation one, we are saying that we will research further those equality issues. And if I'm hearing you correctly tonight, when we bring you back a paper, we will outline what, if any, Section 75 issues there are there, and that will help you inform your decision then as to whether you do go forward, if at all possible, with just one charity, or whether you open it out to more at that point. So if you were content, and if I'm, you know, if you're content with that, Councillor Brown, and that picks up the sentiment of what's been said tonight, we can go off and do that under the recommendations of Section 3 of the report.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough, Doreena. Thank you for clarifying that. You know, I think we do have to consider, why is it that Manchester, Bath, London, all these places that have been mentioned tonight, why are they focusing in on homelessness? You know, there is a reason for that. They've identified a need in their communities. I think, you know, we can go and look and see, did they consider splitting the amount across other charities? Did they go through these equality issues under whatever, you know, legislation or policy they're bound by, whether they're charitable, public sector or private organisations? We go away and do that research and then we make a decision on it. But I just don't want to see it getting, you know, watered down before we've had a chance to look at those issues in detail. So thank you, Doreena, for that clarification.
So, Councillor Savage, have your questions been answered, or...?
No, I'm just curious as to see as to why or how the perception is from Councillor Brown that by having the potential vehicle of the chair's charity initiative as a potential option to be explored is going to dilute this in any way. You know, I would have thought if we were going to look at this, we look at it in the round and we look at all options, and officers come back with, what are the potential best options? What addresses Section 75? And what are the potentially the best vehicles, whether we have or we have existing vehicles or we need new vehicles to do it? And I thought it would have been prudent to look at the vehicle we have at the moment to see, does that offer the vehicle that we need to deliver this and meet our Section 75 needs? I don't think it dilutes in any way the ethos behind trying to tackle homelessness. As I said, I'm a strong advocate for it myself, and, you know, I don't believe that this threatens it in any way. And I think by removing that from our investigations, I think it could be doing a disservice because it could potentially hold the key that unlocks the door to be able to deliver this.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Councillor Walker, do you want to make another comment? I'm going to try and wrap it up. I'm just
yes, just a quick comment, and I have second Patrick's proposal that we accept the paper. But what I did say was that there was a lot of good suggestions coming out here in relation to this and that. And I think when the officers is away, and I don't think it's taken away from it, Patrick, when the officers is away drawing up a paper and looking into this, you know, that they do look at other aspects that what has been discussed tonight. When the paper comes back again, if you're not happy with it, you will have the opportunity to say that you're not happy with it. Because if we bring a paper back and some of these issues aren't maybe discussed within it, you maybe have a councillor then asking for amendment and a proposal or whatever, and then it having to go away again. And that, I think a lot of things that was discussed here, you know, has merit, so it does, you know, and there's a lot of good arguments, such as Councillor Sharvin and that, and saying, will suicide come in and saying, oh, you're taking one charity and that. But if we're seen to be exploring it all, and that we can say, look, we were exploring it all, you know, it mightn't be possible to do some of the things and that. The officers will tease that out because, yes, and we all agree, homelessness is a serious issue in the district. You know, myself and Councillor Andrews has raised thousands for Max and Down Padraig and some of our charity fundraisers and that, you know, because we see the need there for funding for them charities. So if we want to call, if we let the officers go away, you know, some of the amendments are, I don't see why we should maybe, or yourself should maybe reject some of them amendments, because it'll bring a more enhanced paper back to us. And if you're not happy with it then, you know, you can turn around and say then and tease it out then and say, no, I'm not happy with this, I'm not happy with that. But I think, you know, we should bring a comprehensive paper back that's dealing with a lot of this.
Yeah, just for clarity, Billy, you know, the reason that I rejected the amendments is because they were put forward as, you know, we will definitely do this. We will definitely do it through the cherished charities and so on. I think the officer's paper leaves the scope there to go away and do the research and look at options. I think it covers us on all bases. It's not committing us to anything. I'm happy if the amendment is clarified to say, you know, and this motion will also consider whether these contactless payments could support other charities in the district, and maybe that's in line with what Pete was thinking, and we can add that on. But I'm okay with that.
Okay. If Pete, can you circulate an amendment round there just to see if we're content with it, or if Patrick's content with it, or we know what we're actually discussing at this point, because we know we've been around the houses a wee bit, pardon the pun.
Yeah, just maybe to move on quicker, Chair, I can say it out in one sentence to Sarah. What I asked for was not definitive. I asked for us to explore avenues, because of Section 75 stuff, to explore avenues to roll this out, including through the Chair's Charitable Fund. I think explore it. Let's see what's possible.
Are you content with that, Patrick?
I think that's fine, yeah.
Okay, so we have the proposal then from Councillor Byrne to explore his proposal, and then we're also in agreement to write to the local banks in terms of what they can facilitate via ATMs. Have I missed anything else? Sorry.
For equality, I feel bad leaving Barra out. Should we not add on something about writing to the housing executive to get them involved as well?
It is their job, after all.
Look, I mean, we'll add something on about writing to the housing executive to ask them to be a key partner and asking for funding support and so on.
Sound.
Yeah, I think writing to the housing executive maybe to ask them to clarify what they're doing for homelessness in the Newry Morning Down area. I think when they scratch the surface, they're actually doing quite a lot that maybe isn't quite visible to the naked eye or the general public. But I know, you know, they do a lot, and they provide maybe packs for people who actually were on the street and moving into houses and stuff. But, you know, listen, there's a lot to be investigated, and the officers will have a job of work there. And I think we've had a good debate around it, so if we're happy enough, we can close off and move on. Yeah, okay, perfect. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for your contributions. Okay, so we're moving on to item 5, which is Programme Governance OBC Public Consultation Working Group, and it's over to Connor.
Thanks, Chair. At the NCCR Programme Board meeting last week, revised governance arrangements for the Programme of Works were recommended to the Programme Board. These revised arrangements included the terms of reference and the membership of the OBC Public Consultation Working Group and scheduling of future meetings. Further to the meeting, it's also proposed that consideration is given to including members of the local churches on the working group, and the working group details are attached in Annex 1 within the officer's report. So I'm seeking members' approval of the recommendations that are set out in Section 3.1 and 3.2 of this report, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Connor, I have a proposal from Councillor O'Mara, for questioning from Councillor Brown Savage. No, seconded by
Councillor Savage.
Okay, so the proposal and second are questions from Councillor Brown.
Thank you very much, Chair. Connor's got a few questions on this. I'm sure you'll indulge me as not a programme board member. I note the specific reference to church representatives. I wanted to ask for the rationale of them being identified specifically in this report. There's nothing intrinsically ecumenical about the subject matter of this agenda item. I can see a common thread in that Newry Cathedral happened to be a main objector to the Civic Centre project, but I'm struggling to see why, we're reaching out to all denominations. On that, what is the rationale for it? Clearly says representatives from all denominations rather than a representative from all. I don't know, if that's a typo or whatever, but, it's my understanding that there are quite a wide range of denominations, Catholic, Protestant and other within Newry. And, I understand that, as it's written, that recommendation would essentially mean sending invites to at least 10 different churches in the city. It actually doesn't say Newry, it says local churches. I'm assuming it's just, sort of Newry area churches. But it does say representatives plural. Will the council be extending a similarly representative invite to the arts, community and business sectors in Newry as well? I do note there are three business representatives, but I'm a bit concerned that there's no one on there from the arts that I can see. There is one community representative. Yet, potentially under these proposals, there could be 10 representatives from local churches. That seems quite unbalanced to me. But especially, the lack of arts representation. At the end of the day, this project is going to build a theatre and conference facility. It's not building any churches. So I would like to see representation from arts on there, or a reason why that's not currently listed as a specific row there. Overall, I just want to note that I don't see the point in setting up a further consultation body, and I've made that point clear in the past. We've already had the most successful consultation in this council's history in relation to the NCCR project, and it produced unequivocally conclusive results on how the people feel about the NCCR project. So I, cast aspersions on the reasons for doing it overall. But that being said, some clarity around the reasons for the makeup as it's proposed, Connor, would be great. Thank you.
Connor, are you able to come back in on that?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Happy to come back on that. Just for clarity, the proposal is for consideration of members to include representatives from the local churches, and maybe more clarity in the report may have been beneficial, but if the intention is that it would be the local churches on Hill Street that would be impacted by the regeneration project. We're happy if members would like members and representation from the arts sector on the working group. I'm happy to take direction from members tonight and add them to the list of the working groups in Annex 1. And I hope that answers your questions, Councillor Brown.
I would also make a proposal, Connor, to add to that in terms of community representation. I think a union representative would be good, considering the important role that they have played around raising awareness of this project in the past.
Okay. My Councillor Savage has seconded the proposal to add arts, and Councillor Byrne has a question. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's starting to get a wee bit confusing because we're starting to add people to a working group for an OBC as if it's a stakeholders working group. The stakeholders working group is a complete separate entity and it has a huge amount of stakeholders, including the arts, including every sort of denomination and group that you can think of in Uri that would have a say in the project. And the whole point is that there are people that are asking to be on the stakeholders group that only represent themselves either individually and don't represent networks or communities or certain groups. Ain't that being teased out to make sure that the stakeholder group is actually representative of the voice that they're meant to be given on this whole regeneration project. So let's separate the stakeholder group from a working group for the OBCs. If that was the case, all the board members of Newry City Centre Regeneration would be on the OBC working group. That would be just a nonsense because we're repeating the board on the OBC. And that's not what it was set up for. You'll see it's only the joint chairs, and as they rotate, it'll be the joint chairs with the officers, with the business, Newry Bid, Newry Chamber, whatever churches are on Hill Street. And the DEA coordinator. It is succinct because of the level of the body work to have to do. It still feeds through the whole process and the system of NCC, or there still is program boards or project boards underneath the program boards that have all officers themselves. So the Theatre Conference Centre has its own project board, which goes to the program board, which then goes to SPNR. So we don't need to replicate the stakeholders group and the OBC working group. We don't need to replicate the program board and the OBC working group. We don't need to replicate the project boards on the OBC working group. Because all that happens is it is the same conversation in four different forums. We're at the point of delivery. That's why the time frame of the program board is going to step back to every 2 months, because this is where we're pushing through with these projects and we want to see delivery. So we want all the talk around the program boards, project boards and the working groups to be useful. And finally, the other thing that I will say is, you know, obviously, Councillor Brown talked about the most successful consultation, and I think it's the consultation he was talking about last year, and what people said or give their views on what they thought of NCCR. We've seen over Christmas and over the last couple of months with the complementary fund, the elation of people in Uri to see 16.3 million for the park. That is all through the regeneration fund. That is complementing the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project. And I think people need to get it into their heads that the whole City Deal project, which was for the last 12 months, they had sections of people and sections of people in this meeting wanting to pull it down and stop it so that we can build a park, have to realise that by getting that achieved and true, it has raised complementary funds of 16.3 million, which delivered the park. So the City Deal and the regeneration ended up delivering the park. So I don't think we should be separating the strands of this whole Newry City Centre regeneration anymore. All it does is a disservice to the projects. They're not in isolation. They're in a package together. There's six strands and they're all being delivered together. So we don't have to go out and say people want strand one, two and three and they don't like the other ones. We're delivering the whole lot. And that has been passed by this council democratically, and that includes the park. So we need to stop the waffle of creating the same groups time and time again because we fear we don't have representation on it. And the very last thing I will say is Councillor Brown states every single time he talks on NCCR that is not a member of the programme board. Councillor Brown nominated his member of the programme board, black and white in an email. I nominate Councillor Gavin Malone to represent our grouping on the programme board. So let's be clear. So stop the nonsense at the start of this item every meeting, and let's get on with delivering this magnificent project for the people of Newry, including the park.
Councillor Walker?
Yes, thanks. Just a comment. Firstly, I wouldn't have a problem with a representative from the arts, but were unions or anybody else concerned, you know, if we're going to go down that road, and I totally agree 100% with what Councillor Byrne has said, if we're going to go down that road, we're as well opening it up to Tom, Dick and Harry. Councillor Byrne's right, there's a lot of people out there that are either for it or opposed, but they're representing themselves. Do we open it up to everybody? We have taken a democratic decision in this council. This is the way we're going. That's the way we should be going. And Councillor Byrne is right. We're making a lot of great progress at the minute. Not, you know, there was doubters not there said we didn't want to put money into a town park. We didn't want to run with a town park. Here we have had officers of this council working tirelessly to try and deliver this and to try and achieve and get funding. You know, that is happening. And councillors maybe not want to hear this, but the town park will be delivered along with other things in Newry. And although I come from Rowallan and I could always argue the point, we're getting nothing up this way. I think what's happening here in Newry, in a few years' time, Newry could end up being the most vibrant and best city in Northern Ireland. So it could. So we have to let the officers get on and do their work. And if we're going to bring Tom and Dick and Harry on to these project boards, whatever, and that there, it's only going to hold the process up, because a lot of them are only there for their own agenda. So they are, and I think it's wrong.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Savage, and then Connor wants to come back in with a comment.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. I just wanted to comment when I was seconding that proposal. Look, I have a deep appreciation for the role that the arts play in so many fronts in our city. And obviously, the Arts and Theatre and Conference Centre is a key plank of our regeneration. And I think it's very important, just like the business community and business leaders that we have the arts, somebody from the arts leading in this project. As Peter said, this is about delivering this now and making sure that any creases we have are ironed out and ironed out from the stakeholder group and the other forums up, that when we get to the stage of actual delivery, that we have the people with the skill set there to do it. And I believe the people that have been asked to be involved in it represent the community and historical and cultural views of the city, as well as those within the arts and the performing arts sector. And, you know, I think that by adding the churches in the greater Hill Street area and the arts sector to this, I think we could be creating a formidable team to go off and deliver this project when we take it through the various stages. You know, and I think it's time we started talking up the future of our city. As a Newry councillor, I've listened to the lengthy debate that there has been on this issue. I believe that, you know, we are on the threshold now of delivering great things. The $16.23 million for the park, I believe, is a watershed moment in that it saw that by, you know, breathing belief into projects, that other projects follow. And I believe that we could have a golden mile that, in my mind, whenever this was first envisaged, that would run from the Albert Basin right up to the Town Hall and the Conference and Theatres Centre, that, you know, Newry will be on the map by the time we're finished with these projects. We have to iron out wrinkles, we have to iron out concerns, and we have to deal with some of the problems that are there. But that's what these groups and organisations are there to do in relation to feeding in to delivering the business case for the overarching project. So I think we need to get on with it now. We need to start talking up our city, and we got to make sure that we deliver this and deliver it professionally and deliver it on time and deliver it on budget.
And so over to Connor.
Thanks, Chair. Just a couple of areas for clarity and just to inform the members. Firstly, the trade unions are represented on the project boards for each individual project within the internal council structures. Secondly, there is an arts sector working group that works with the programme or the project board on delivering the theatre and arts project. And I'm happy that we approach that group and ask for a representative from them to sit on the OBC public consultation working group, if that's what members recommend approval for tonight.
Okay, thank you. So we had a proposal from Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Savage, and then another proposal to add a representative from the arts. Is that accurate? Yeah. And then do we need to clarify that on the paper around Hill Street as well? Yeah, okay. Okay, so if we're content, we can move on then. Okay, so item 6 is call for evidence on remote hearing regulations for decision, and it's over to Fergal.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, very briefly, the paper speaks for itself here. The background to this is the call for evidence from DFC on the continued use and the making permanent of the remote hearing regulations by local councils in Northern Ireland. The call seeks views on the use of the current arrangements, which made provision for district councils to hold meetings remotely or in a hybrid format during coronavirus. So members are invited to consider the documentation and to approve a response on behalf of council.
Thank you, Fergal. I don't see any. Oh, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, I just propose it, Chair. I agree with the advantages and disadvantages outlined and agree that the council should be able to set when to use remote meetings in the future. I think that's really important because each council is different. But yes, have your paper as is filled out, yeah.
Thank you. I'll move seconder from Councillor Savage. Okay. Okay, so I need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session. Proposed by Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Just to make you aware, items 7 to 15 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and by the public, may be by resolution, and the public may be by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Okay, so sorry, excuse me to go ahead then.
Whilst in closed session, the following was agreed. Item 7, proposed leases of lands at Kilbourne Park, Greenback Depot and Clockray Community Centre for electricity substations. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Tunley, that elected members approve the leases of the following lands to Northern Ireland Electricity Networks, with the NIEN being responsible for ancillary legal and valuation costs. A lease of lands at Kilbourne Park, Restrever, as outlined in red on map 1 attached to the officer's report, for a term of 99 years, subject to a one-off premium of £1,000. A lease of lands at Clockray Community Centre, Bessbrook, as outlined in red on map 2 attached to the officer's report, for a term of 99 years, subject to a one-off premium of £1,000. A lease of lands at Greenbank Depot, Newry, as outlined in red on map 3 attached to the officer's report, for a term of 99 years, subject to a one-off premium to be determined by the council's valuer. Item 8, leases of land, council lands under sports and community leasing policy. On the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Rice, it was agreed that elected members approve the following terms of years for the leases previously agreed as follows. Moorhill Quality Quarry, leased to MCI Climbing Walls Limited for a term of 25 years. Generator House, leased to Newcastle Harbour Heritage Association for a term of 5 years. Burn Village Green, leased to trustees of Burns Men's Shed for a term of 5 years. Drummondness Cricket Pitch, leased to trustees of Drummondness Super Kings Cricket Club for a term of 25 years. Drummondness Soccer Pitch, leased to trustees of Drummondness Mills Football Club for a term of 25 years. Item 9, license of a portion of the walled garden Sleeve Gullion Forest Park. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Yes. It was agreed that elected members approved to grant a license to Clan Rye, permitting them to carry out horticultural work within the walled garden, as shown hatched red on the map attached to the officer's report, and to create and thereafter maintain a mediation garden, a meditation garden, as per plan attached to the officer's report, for a 5-year period. The licence will be subject to a yearly licence fee to be determined by councillor's valuer, consent from Forest Service, receipt of statutory approvals if relevant, in relation to the meditation garden, reimbursement of council's valuation costs and the creation and agreement of a scheme of horticultural works to be carried out by Clan Rye. Item 10, Conacre arrangements in respect of Pathwell and Forest Park. On the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Rice, it was agreed that elected members approve that an express of interest was issued in respect of the lands outlined in red on the map attached to the officer's report, with a minimum conacre licence fee as provided by councillor's valuer. The expression of interest to be advertised once in a local paper available in the vicinity of Castlewellan. That elected members agree to council entering into a conacre licence agreement with the highest bidder for a period of 3 years in respect of lands outlined in red on the map attached to the officer's report. Item 11, request to purchase lands to the rear of 57 Violet Hill Avenue, Newry. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed that elected members approve the transfer of the area outlined in green on the map attached to the officer's report for the proposed use and subject to all necessary statutory approvals, with the cost to be the market value of the property as determined by Council's valuer, and with the applicants being responsible for Council's legal and valuation costs. The applicants will also be responsible for the construction and cost of a new suitable new boundary wall, suitable new boundary with council lands, which will be subject to officer's approval. Item 12, Refuse Collection Workforce Review. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that elected members approved the workforce establishment figure for the service at 124 full-time equivalent and to agree that 16 temporary posts be made permanent via HR process. Item 13, Local Government Staff Commission, Dissolution Continuing Operation. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members note the contents of the report and confirm they support the view set out by NILGA in Appendix 3 of the Officer's Report that the LGSC, the Local Government Staff Commission, should be closed at the very earliest opportunity. Item 14, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, held on the 13th of December 2021 on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. It was great to note the Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet from the 13th of December 2021. Item 15, D1 Expression of Interest, Cecil Street, Newry. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the intention to submit an expression of interest through the D1 process for the two sites on Cecil Street, Newry, as indicated in Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. For noting in open session, item 16, minutes of Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on the 13th of January 2022. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Walker, it was agreed to note the minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on the 13th of January 2022. Item 17, Statutory Reporting Section 75 Policy Screening Report, Quarterly Report for period October to December 2021. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed to note the Section 75 Policy Screening Report, the Quarterly Report for period October to December 2021. Item 18, Statutory Reporting, Dara Rural Needs Annual Monitoring Report 2020 to 2021. On the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to note the Statutory Reporting, Dara Rural Needs Annual Monitoring Report 2020 to 2021.